All right, great to be here, amen? Our sermon text for this segment is going to be taken from the book of Acts. Acts chapter 13 and verse 38, which reads, "Therefore, let it be known to you, brethren, that through this man is preached to you the forgiveness of sins." The context of this verse is that of Paul's Pisidian sermon. We have that in Acts chapter 13, verses 13 through 41. You can go ahead and take a read of that when you get home, but this sermon is going to be a little more of the text variety than the expositional one. And I want to take a look at two things which arise out of our text. First, we want to take a look at the gravity of sin. And second, the power of forgiveness. Paul's preaching is with power, and it points gospel truths at the hearts of men. The Bible knows no other kind of preaching, and neither do we. Here he preaches through Christ the forgiveness of sins. That we are all sinners in need of divine help from the Savior should be obvious to us all. But there are some who are blinded by the pride of life, and so, like Paul, we have been called to preach to any who are in any sort of spiritual bondage, to open their eyes in order to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among those who are sanctified by faith in me. Acts 26:18. If you, Lord, should mark iniquities, O Lord, who could stand? Who can say, I have made my heart clean, I am pure from my sin? For there is not a just man on earth who does good and does not sin. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Friends, we cannot come to God without our sins forgiven. But if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Therefore, let it be known to you, brethren, that through this man, this Jesus, is preached to you the forgiveness of sins. Our second point, the power of forgiveness. We read the question of the psalmist. If you, Lord, should mark iniquities, O Lord, who could stand? And in the very next verse, the divinely inspired reply is given. But there is forgiveness with you, that you may be feared. Psalm 130, verses 3 and 4. And so the sinner can arise and stand. And it is by the great power and authority of our God and of his Christ that we fear him in the sense of astonishment. Now I'd like you to consider carefully with me the account of Jesus' miracle of the healing of the paralytic. And we're going to be drawing some applications from this. Begin reading in Mark chapter 2 and verse 1. And again he entered Capernaum after some days, and it was heard that he was in the house. Immediately many gathered together so that there was no longer room to receive them, not even near the door, and he preached the word to them. And then they came to him, bringing a paralytic who was carried by four men. And when they could not come near him because of the crowd, they uncovered the roof where he was. So when they had broken through, they let down the bed on which the paralytic was lying. And when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Son, your sins are forgiven you." And some of the scribes were sitting there and reasoning in their hearts, "Why does this man speak blasphemies like this? Who can forgive sins but God alone?" But immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they reasoned thus within themselves, he said to them, "Why do you reason about these things in your hearts?" See, this is the problem with reasoning things through in our hearts and our minds. God knows what's going on there. God knows exactly what's going on there. And he knows exactly what we need for a response.
Right.
Which is easier, to say to the paralytic, "Your sins are forgiven you," or to say, "Arise, take up your bed, and walk"? "But that you may know," so these folks are going to get their answer, "that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins," he said to the paralytic, "I say to you, arise, take up your bed, and go to your house." Immediately, he arose, took up the bed, and went out in the presence of them all, so that all were amazed and glorified God, saying, "We never saw anything like this." His sins were forgiven, and immediately, he arose. The spiritual cure is a very present one. If you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord, God, and Savior, and praise the Lord, our new brother Eric did this morning. If you have accepted Jesus as your Lord, God, and Savior, that healing took place that hour, that moment you first believed. Jesus Christ did all the work. You had the faith. You exercised your faith. But now when we take a spiritual step, what happens? What happens? The devil comes in, right? The devil's going to come in with an attack. He's going to try the back door, the side door. He's going to come down through the roof like these folks had to do. Whatever he's got to do to get in and mess things up, mess the things up that God did, he's going to do. And so the very next decision you make, are you going to go back to the stinking devil, or are you going to listen to the Lord and move forward? Jesus had the authority to forgive sins if he so chooses. And he wills to do so by his goodwill, by his grace, and by his mercy. Therefore, let it be known to you, brethren, that through this man is preached to you the forgiveness of sins. We've got a beautiful text in the book of Psalms. Psalm of David, Psalm 32. Psalm 32, verses 1 and 2. Where David writes, "Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord does not impute iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no deceit." Here, David speaks of the forgiveness of sin. What is the forgiveness of sin but divine pardon? And also, the result of the forgiveness of sin. You may have heard the term remission of sin. And you know when you get like when we buy some oil, the oil man, you know, gives me one of those little slips there, puts it on my door, and it you know, it's remittance. It says remittance on the bottom, right? Because I owe him some money. I get a debt I got to pay. Jesus has not only forgiven your sin, but he's remitted the sin. He's paid the debt in full. He's released you from the debt of sin. And there is more. And there is more. The Lord also says, Isaiah 43:25, I love this verse. I am he who blots out your transgressions for my own sake, and I will not remember your sins. Those who place their faith in Jesus have their sins blotted out by the blood of Christ. Those sins that you have confessed, are confessing, and will confess today have been paid for and blotted out by the blood of Christ. What love God has for us to go to such lengths. Through Christ, forgiveness of sins. Seek no other mediator, for there is one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. Seek no other righteousness, not in you, not of works, but in the great work of Jesus Christ. Do not think to say, but I have done so many evil things that God cannot save me. For the scripture says that he is also able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. Moses. We all know Moses, the great giant of faith who God used to lead the children of Israel out of Egypt, heading over towards that promised land over there. But Moses was a murderer. He killed a man and buried his head in the sand. David had a little too much free time on his hand. And so one day, he's up on his roof. He's got the tallest roof in the city. And he sees a woman, and he lusts for her. And David became an adulterer and a murderer. And the arm of the Lord not only saved them and forgave their sins, but he also used them mightily. Do not think to say, but I will not accept God's forgiveness because I shall not forgive myself. A lot of folks struggle with that. Their consciences have been awakened to the point that they realize what a depraved thing that they have done. And that's as good as far as it goes. But the next step is to accept God's forgiveness. Some folks withhold forgiveness from themselves, but they also hold God's forgiveness here. If you're thinking this way, if you are thinking that you will not accept God's forgiveness for something because you will not forgive yourself, I ask you, are you in the place of God? When he has cleansed by his grace and by his blood, thou shalt not call unclean. Accepting forgiveness through Christ may be a hard thing for you to do, but it will liberate your soul. You can go right on remembering your past sins. And David did this. He said, my sins are ever before me. You can go right on remembering the consequences of your past sins, just as David did. And you'll learn their lessons well. But you need not despair. For God's forgiveness is greater than your sin. God's forgiveness has overcome your sin. And your sins have been removed as far as the east is from the west, friend. Those sins that you've confessed here today. Jesus knows your needs. And he wishes to grant you the peace of forgiveness today. Therefore, let it be known to you, brethren, that through this man is preached to you the forgiveness of sins. Lord God, we thank you for the great forgiveness that you have given to great sinners, such as all are we. Lord, we thank you for your mercy, your kindness, your grace, Lord. We pray that you search us, search the depths of our hearts, and if there be any secret sin in us, that you find it out, that you call it to our attention, that we confess it, and that just as you have promised, that you will hear in heaven and forgive us our iniquities. Lord God, we have sinned greatly, individually, as a family, as a city, as a nation. And Lord God, we seek your revival. Lord, begin here today. Let there be peace and restoration and awakening right here in Woonsocket. And let it begin with each and every one of us here today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.